I would invite you to find your place with me in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, and please stand as I read God's word to us, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of God. Amen. You may be seated. It has been said that there is nothing permanent except for change. Change is a part of life, isn't it? Children grow up. Parents grow old. All right. Jobs change. Our teens go off to college. 20-somethings graduate from college. Singles get married. People have 50th wedding anniversaries. Friends and relatives move away or die. Change happens. And we're all testimonies of that because we all change. We change on the outside, we change on the inside, we change in terms of where we live and where we work. Change is just permanent. Permanent. But God doesn't change. And God's word doesn't change. But God uses change. Let's just get a hold of that this morning. Change is a part of life. God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word doesn't change. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will not pass away. But God uses change. And how does God use change? I believe God uses change to cause us to trust Him in times of change, and to cause us to grow. He grows us through change. Moses. Moses lived how long? How many years did Moses live on this earth? 120. Did you hear that? 120 years. And then God took him, buried him, nobody knows where, But he died. He died. But over the course of 120 years, Moses' life changed dramatically, didn't it? Let's think of Moses' 120 years in 340-year increments, all right? So where was Moses the first 40 years of his life? Where was he? He was in Egypt. He was in Pharaoh's house. He was like a son to the Pharaoh of Egypt for 40 years. And then that changed. And then what happened? He killed an Egyptian, right? He buried him in the sand. And then he was exiled. And he went into the desert for another 40 years as a shepherd. And then that changed. Because at the ripe young age of 80, some of you are nudging that age. Some of you have surpassed that age. But at the ripe age of 80, David McLean's age, and I say that because, you know, when you turn 80 years old, it's like a badge of honor, isn't it, David? I mean, it's just like the other things happen too. But I mean, you know, 80 years old, here's Moses, and God says, I have an assignment for you. 40 years in the house of Pharaoh, 40 years as a desert shepherd, now you're ready to do what I've assigned you to do from the day you were conceived. And so for the next 40 years, he was God's deliverer. He was God's lawgiver. He was God's prophet. He led the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he led them into the wilderness. And he led them through the Red Sea. And he led them for the next 40 years toward the Promised Land. Moses was the servant of the Lord. He led the people of God. But after 40 years in the wilderness, what happened to Moses? He died. All right? He died. Not only did Moses die, but that first generation out of Egypt, they all died off. Okay? And why did they die? Because they didn't trust God. They didn't take God at his word. They didn't believe God was really going to take them into the Canaan land and deliver them from those giants. They just saw the giants as way too big to deal with. They should have trusted God. They would have lived to enter the Promised Land, but they died off too. So Moses died, that first generation out of Egypt died, and so now 40 years later, a brand new generation has been born and grown up. And they have a new leader. And his name is Joshua. And we should not be strangers to Joshua at all, because Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. Moses mentored Joshua before Joshua even knew what he was going to be chosen to do. And so now we have this major leadership transition or shift taking place. And although Moses is dead, a new generation has been raised up, a new leader has been put in place, and now, at long last, they are ready to go into the Promised Land. They are ready to enter Canaan. That was all part of God's plan. All the changes, all the transitions, it was all part of God's plan to expand his influence, God's influence, and God's glory. It's all about God. And what God is up to. And so he did that through this time of transition and change to reveal his power, to reveal his faithfulness, right? Please understand this. For whatever changes may be going on in your life right now, in your marriage, in your home, at work, or wherever, the changes there, listen, the changes are happening on purpose for this purpose. To show the power and faithfulness of God and for him to be glorified. That's what he's up to. That's what he's up to in times of change. We just read that God told Joshua, the reason I'm doing this is because I am a God who keeps his word. I'm a God who keeps his promises. And what I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I am now about to fulfill. I said I would bring you into the promised land. Joshua, get ready, get up, and get going. We're there. Sometimes we don't see change coming. Sometimes change blindsides us, you know. Some of us have had that experience just this week. The reason Morris and Kelly Mahalski are not here is because yesterday they attended the funeral of the wife of a very long-standing friend of Morris's who died very, very suddenly. They were not expecting that. Death stops life, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, it's like, oh my word. She's gone. He's gone. Now what? As the book of Joshua begins, Israel's wanderings are over. After 40 years of meandering all over the wilderness, the time has come to enter the promised land. Moses is dead. I think I said that before, right? Moses is dead. Joshua is the new leader. Israel is encamped on the east side of the Jordan River. So if picture Israel, picture the land of Palestine, and we have Israel, 2 to 3 million people. Now, this is not some little camp out, all right? The 2 to 3 million people that are camped on the east side of the river, and they're about to cross the Jordan River, and they're about to occupy the land that God has promised to give to them. And so all of this is happening on purpose for a purpose, right? God is directing this. God is giving them this time and this opportunity, and it's going to involve change. It already has, but it's going to involve more change. Now, let me just ask you this. How does change affect you? Do you always welcome it? It's like, hoo-hoo, it's changing. No, we don't always. Now, sometimes it's like, yeah, finally, at last, it's changing, you know. But usually it's like, oh, man, I knew someday change would happen, and I knew someday this was going to probably take place. I'm not sure I'm ready for this. Sometimes change can be very unsettling, right? Sometimes change raises more questions than answers. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes change is just downright uncomfortable. And for those of us in my generation and older, for the most part, we don't like it. We just wish things would stay the way they are, you know, because we're familiar with that. That's comfortable. Change isn't. But God knows that, doesn't he? God knows what we need, and God knows in all of our lives we need change. You know, if it weren't for change, nobody would ever get saved. If it weren't for change, none of us would grow spiritually, right? I mean, change is used by God for good purposes. So the unknowns and the uncertainties of life will always accompany change. Listen, even when you know change is coming, right? Lydia, Zach, a big change is coming into your lives May 23rd. You're going to get married. Brace yourself. You have no idea how your lives are going to change, all right? Well, maybe some idea. You know, life brings change. Imagine what the Israelites were thinking as they awaited the next step. Entrance into the promised land. entrance into Canaan. By the way, they had been anticipating this for how many years? 40 years. You know, sometimes you anticipate change and it's like, I know it's coming, but you know, maybe. And then all of a sudden, oh my word, it's come, it's here. The change is about to happen. Now what? Am I ready? Is this a good thing after all? Some of you are graduating from university in May. Some of you have a child getting married this year. Some of you are caring for an aging parent, and the changes you are watching in their lives just are disturbing because life has changed. Well, in Joshua chapter 1, God reveals truths. And let me just put it this way. God reveals truths that transcend historical and cultural context. Okay? So we're going to be looking at a change that happened way 2,500 years ago. We're going to look at that in the context of that culture and that geography. But let me tell you, the truths that we're going to glean from this work today too. They're true today too. Now, some of you know where I'm going, don't you? Because we as a local church, we are in the midst of a major pastoral transition. If you were here last week, you heard that on May 21st and 22nd, Pastor Adam is going to be candidating as lead pastor, as senior pastor. He's taking my job. Okay? You say, well, yeah, I heard that. I had somebody ask me this week, so where does that leave you? I don't know, but I have an idea, all right? Change. Within the next few months, Lord willing, there'll be a new senior pastor of Shawnee Hills Baptist Church. That will involve some real change. That transition's a good one. Some of you were here 7 years ago when I was called to be the new senior pastor of Shawnee Hills Baptist Church. Let me just ask you something. Have things remained the same over the last 7 years? Or has there been change? Yeah, a lot of change. Some of it good, some of it, still the jury is out on some of it, right? But there will be change. But God hasn't changed, right? God is still the rock. His word is still unchangeable. See, that's our ground zero. That is our foundation. That's what we bank on, that in the midst of all these changes, one thing doesn't change, and that's God, and that's God's word. Now, unlike Moses, I'm not dead. And as far as I know, I'm not dying. Okay? So that's different. And we've not been anticipating this leadership transition. We've not been anticipating this for 40 years. We haven't. But how long have we anticipated this, Clint? About 7 years. In case you didn't know, I've always been working myself out of a job. Over the last 7 years, it was the leadership's intention for me to come here to mentor and coach Pastor Adam to become, Lord willing, the next lead pastor. That's been the plan. And by the grace of God, it's unfolding in that direction. It has been the plan for the last 7 years. But now, here's a bit of a reality check, all right? 40 years. 40 years ago, right now, I was in my first pastoral ministry. At the age of 28, I was pastoring a church for the first time in my life, and I had no idea what I was doing. Well, I did. by the grace of God, he kind of took me one step at a time. That was 40 years ago. You know what else happened 40 years ago? Pastor Adam was born. This August will be, just so you know, he'll be 40 in August. All right? You know what? Even though from our perspective, this has only been in the works for 7 years, from God's perspective, it's been in the works for 40 years. For 40 years. God knows what he's about, doesn't he? He knows what he's up to. And here's what I want us to think about in the balance of our time together this morning. What should we embrace that was true 2,500 years ago that is still true today? In the midst of all the changes, I mean, my word, think about the changes in world history over the last 2,500 years. So what hasn't changed? And what isn't going to change? See, that's the comfort. Here are some things that haven't changed, and they're not going to. Okay, number one, God is unchanging. He always has been, and he always will be. God is perfectly consistent in terms of his own character and conduct. That doesn't mean God doesn't work with change. That doesn't mean God may do things differently. But he himself, he is holy. He will always be holy. He is just. He will always be just. Unlike the gods of the Canaanites that were so capricious and unpredictable, God is God alone, and he is unchanging. Moses wrote of this unchanging God in Psalm 90, verses 1 to 2, "From everlasting to everlasting, you are God." David wrote of the immutable God, he said, "He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." God said of himself in Malachi 3:6, "For I, the Lord, do not change." And then in the book of Hebrews, we read this wonderful verse, Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." Would you say that with me? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do you believe that? Does that comfort you? Does that provide stability in the midst of change? It does for me. In the changing circumstances of this local church life, God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. We serve a changeless God. We worship a changeless God. He is our rock, and he is our redeemer. So here's truth number one to just grab hold of and hold on to. God is unchanging. Number two, God is faithful and true. Okay? That flows out of his immutability. God is faithful and God is true. His people, we can take God at his word, right? Do you take God at his word? You ever question God's word? Yes, you do. Yes, I do. But should it be questioned? No, it shouldn't. Does God have patience with our questions? Yes, he does. Does God grow us through our questioning of his? Yes. He does, because he hasn't changed. His mercies or covenant loyalties are new, like every week they're new. Well, at least once a month they're new. How often are the mercies of God new? Every day. His mercies are new every day. And what about his faithfulness? It's great, isn't it? Great is your faithfulness. See, like God's people of old, and I'm talking about Israel here in the days of Joshua, We can count on God. Most of us have lived long enough to know that we can't always count on other people. That's kind of a sad thing, but you know what? Sooner or later, we're going to let you down. I'm going to let you down. I'm going to disappoint you. I mean, you can't always count on me, although I would like you to, but sorry, you know, I'm a sinner just like you. But you can count on God, and you can count on God's word. And here's what they could count on God for. Here's what we can count on God for. They and we can count on God for a plan that will work. We can count on him for that. A plan that will work. Because God always knows what to do. He always knows what to do. He always knows how to do it. He always knows when to do it. He always knows why it should be done. I mean, he's got this thing figured out. He had it figured out. He laid out the plan for Joshua. Here you go. I have a plan. Now just follow my plan. In case you don't realize, life will always go so much better if you follow God's plan. Follow God's word. Trust him. Trust him. He knows the outcome of the process we're following. I'm talking about us now. March 21st and 22nd, candidating weekend. God knows the outcome of that. April 5th, voting day. God knows the outcome of that. He knows what to do about that. He knows what he wants to do through that. Number two, we can count on God for godly, spirit-filled leadership. Moses is dead. The prophet, the lawgiver, the deliverer, he's gone. But I have not left you without a leader. Joshua will take you into the promised land. Isn't that encouraging? New leader, same Lord, right? Now let's remember that. Whatever circumstances in life change, okay, that may be new, that may be different, may not have seen that coming. God is the same. He's the same. And he will provide spirit-filled leadership. He prepares the right people for the right time to do what's right. You know, we're talking about Pastor Adam and Michelle and the transition that they're into and facing, and we're all facing. But please be in prayer for the leadership team, the 9 deacons that are providing spirit-filled, godly leadership. They're the ones that kind of had laid out the process and laid out the plan, and by the grace of God, things are going well. We don't want to presume, we don't want to assume. But we want to try to trace the hand of God as best we can through this time of transition and change and know what he's up to. We can trust him to do that. Number three, we can count on him for a process that is purposeful and effective. A process that is purposeful and effective. Something that took me longer than it should have to learn is this. Usually, the process is God's goal, not the product, not the outcome. Don't miss the process. Now, some of you are process people. So it's like, yeah, doesn't everybody know that? No, not all of us do. Some of us think the process is something you tolerate to get to the end. Those of us who are more task-oriented, okay, if I have to do that, but if that's what it takes to get... No, God says, don't miss the process. By the way, Shawnee Hills Baptist Church, don't miss the process. Don't miss what's been in process, what's been in motion for a long time now that is starting to get some traction, starting to look like maybe something that God's been up to for longer than we realize. Not just in terms of pastoral leadership, but in terms of ministries and ministry changes and ministry transitions. Number four, we can count on God for providing what is needed when it is needed. He did that for Israel. He provided what was needed, when it was needed, not a day too soon, not a day too late, right on time. Okay, it's time. Get up, get going. Time to enter the promised land. He provided a leader. He provided land. He provided resources. He provided rest for Israel. He provided, and he is for us too, folks. Listen, family. Listen, brothers and sisters. God is providing our needs. We can count on him for that. And fifthly, we can count on God to keep his promises, right? He is true to his word. He cannot lie. We can trust him because he is true and because he is trustworthy. Right? Right. We can. And that's true. These are all truths and principles that apply to where we are as a local church right now, but let that filter down into your life, into your home, into your work, into your neighborhood. Just, do you ever wonder, like in your neighborhood, what are you up to, Lord? I wonder why those neighbors moved and new neighbors moved in. Do you ever wonder that? Like, it's got to be more than, oh, yeah, got new neighbors. I wonder why. What's God up to? What's God want to do? I wonder why, for whatever reason, I don't have the same roommate that I had last year. I got a new roommate. It's like, I wish I had the old roommate. But I got a new one. I guess I'll just have to tolerate that. No. What is God up to? What does he want to do in your life and in that person's life? Nothing happens by accident. It's on purpose. God keeps his promises. Here's what I think. I think oftentimes we individually, but as a local church, we're like the father of the demonized boy that kept throwing himself in the fire. And Jesus came along, and Jesus encouraged that father to trust him. And the father said, Lord, I believe. I believe. Please help my unbelief. You ever feel that way? Yes, I know who you are. I know what I can count on you to do. I know what you can do, what I've seen you do. Are you going to do it this time too? Help my unbelief. Here's what I think is true with most of us. We want to trust God, right? And sometimes we do trust God, but I think lots of times we want to trust God. We're not quite there yet. We're not even sure I want to trust God for this. So please give me the want to trust God. It's all part of life and it's all part of change. We're not sure how things are going to work out. We're not sure what's going to happen. I mean, that's up to God. But listen, if we did know how everything was going to unfold, if we could fill in all the blanks, where's the faith needed? Why do we need to trust God? He's not going to show us it all. Thirdly, and with this I close this morning, God is unchanging, God is faithful and true, and listen to this, God's glory is the main thing. The glory of God, the weightiness of God, that is the main thing. Listen, God is a generous giver, right? Would you say God's a generous giver? He's not stingy, all right? Would you say that God loves lavishly? Yeah. Would you say that God does not withhold anything good from those who walk uprightly? Would you say that's true? Yeah. You know what he won't share? His glory. He will not share his glory with anyone. That is not up for grabs. And in a very good way, God is jealous of his own glory. That's reserved for him. He wants to be the great one. He is. He just wants to be seen that way. Glory is God's. Glory is God's alone. God is jealous of his glory, and sometimes we learn that the hard way, like Moses. Wilderness wandering, first time they came to the rock, right? Strike the rock, strike the rock. He struck the rock, a gush of water. Second time they come to the rock, God said, speak to the rock. Moses was ticked at the people, and so he struck the rock instead of just speaking to the rock. And what happened? Water came. Then what happened? Moses, you will not enter the promised land. See, that's pretty harsh. No, when you stop and think about the fact that God will not share his glory with anyone. If Moses had simply spoken to the rock, water would have come forth and God would have been glorified. What happened? Moses got angry. And all anybody saw was an angry man, not the glory of God. How many times do we get in the way of God's glory? Out of pride? Out of anger? Out of being pushy? Whatever it might be, we want the attention, we want the credit. Somebody notice me! And God says, you have your reward. If that's what you want, that's what you get. That does nothing for me. Nothing for me. The glory belongs to him. We must glorify God in this time of transition and change. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're so much higher. They're so much better. You say, well, how do we know that? Pray. Read his word. Think his thoughts after him. To God be the glory, right? Can we say that honestly as a church family? Whatever the outcome, to God be the glory, right? To God be the glory. So in this season of pastoral leadership transitions and subsequent changes, there will be times of uncertainty. There will be times of questions. There will be a feeling of being unsettled. That's when we need to remind ourselves, okay, in the swirl of transition and change, God hasn't changed, right? God's word hasn't changed. And we just must trust in the Lord and wait patiently on him, as hard as that is at times, to provide the right leadership at the right time, because God knows what we need. He knows what we need. And very quickly, here are just four assurances about that that come right from Joshua chapter 1. Number one, in verse 5, as God was with Moses, he was with Joshua, he will be with us. Number two, as God promised neither to lead nor forsake Israel, so he will neither nor forsake us. Get this. As God was with Israel, as Israel had God's word and committed to obeying him, we have even more of the word of God than they had. And if we will commit to obeying God's word, the whole counsel of God, then we will have good success. as Joshua was exhorted to be strong and courageous. By the way, how many times did God say to Joshua, be strong and very courageous? How many times? Three times. What does that tell you about Joshua? He needed the reinforcement. He wasn't necessarily feeling so strong and courageous following in the footsteps of Moses. I don't know how old Joshua was, but Moses was 120. Okay? I'm not going to go there. From where does the courage and the strength to do what God wants us to do come? We just kind of have to muster that up, generate that ourselves. Come on, be strong, be courageous. No, where does it come from, church? It comes from the Lord. He is our helper. He is the maker of heaven and earth. He is the one that infuses strength and courage into the hearts of his people. It comes by the word of God. It comes by the voice of truth. See, in Joshua's day, God's plan was communicated through his word. Verse 2. Victory was guaranteed by the word of God. God's presence was assured by the word of God. God kept telling them, I'm with you. I'm with you. Follow my plan. It's for your good, but it's for my glory. Don't depart from the plan, from the word of God, and from the changeless God himself. He gives the assignment. He gave the assignment to Moses. He gave the assignment to Joshua. He provided the resources, right? I mean, everything we're going to need is going to be given to us. He's not going to leave anything out. He's going to give us everything we need, family. He's going to give it to us. And he's going to stay with us at all times. He is the God who stays. Matthew West has captured that in his most recent song. The God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction when the whole world walks away. You're the God who stands with wide open arms. And you tell me nothing I have ever done can separate my heart from the God who stays. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are unchanging, you are faithful, you are true, and your glory is the main thing. And Father, in this time as a local church, perhaps in this time as a married couple or as a family or on campus or wherever this may be showing itself, we need to know that. And we need to trust you and we need to obey you and we need to walk with you. So, Lord, meet us where we are. Take us to where you want us to be for your glory. And for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.